We've been working on monitoring abuse allegations by security guards at the mine for about a decade now. And when the company put in place this very novel mechanism to directly remedy sexual assaults by its staff, we started monitoring its implementation, and particularly looking at what the victims of the rapes thought about the process for the remedies and, of course, the outcomes of the remedies. And we have spoken with a great number of these women, and most of them find that the process is deeply insulting to them and not satisfactory. There's a range of reasons for this. One is that they were not consulted in the design of the process itself, and this led to a range of flaws through implementation. Women are also quite unhappy about the outcomes, and this feeling was exacerbated this year when 11 women who refused to go through the company process but obtained American lawyers received remedies that were reportedly about 10 times higher than the women who went through the company process. And so now what women who received the much smaller remedy feel is that the reason they got such a lower remedy is because they didn't have adequate legal representation through the process.
So is it the view of you and your fellow researchers that Barrick Gold is taking advantage of that, if you like, that the victims and their families just lack the knowledge to take on an organization like Barrick?
We feel in this case that starting in 2010, the company Barrick took a number of very important steps, which we congratulate and which we think other companies should take when there are allegations of serious abuses of this form, physical assaults, in some cases gang rapes of local people. And those positives we think should be very clearly acknowledged. In particular, there were numerous aspects of this remedy mechanism which were very novel. It's really the first of its kind in the world after the UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights. And Barrick took important steps here to ensure that the process was appropriate for the local context. However, we do conclude that despite the efforts of the company, the ultimate result was deeply flawed. And there's two foundational reasons for this. One is that the process just didn't do enough to address what are clearly quite gross power imbalances between, on the one hand, a group of women who have not had the advantages, for the most part, of education, of lawyers, and on the other, one of the largest gold mining companies in the world. The second is that the process didn't center the victims, the women themselves, sufficiently throughout the process.
So if I interpret what you say correctly, Barrick have attempted to go about this in the right way, but ultimately what we've ended up with is something which is really undermining the law of the land as far as PNG is concerned, isn't it?
We conclude that there were a number of important positive steps here which should be acknowledged because other companies may also seek to directly remedy assaults by their staff or other human rights abuses. And we'd like the positive elements to be taken as learning for other companies or for Barrick in the future. But at the same time, we do not think after this study that this particular process should be replicated wholesale by other companies. And we would like the drawbacks of this particular implementation and outcome to be taken on board by Barrick as well as by other multinationals so that if there are abuses in the future, they can be remedied in a way that best advances the human rights of any victims.
What about the perpetrators in all this? What has happened to them? How many of them have seen a court?
That's a very difficult question to answer. What we know from public statements by Barrick as well as interviews with local police is that Barrick did an internal investigation, and that led to the revealing of a number of particular cases, and individuals were, for example, fired. And in some cases, evidence was referred to police. However, we haven't been able to find evidence that through this investigation process, the direct perpetrators themselves were actually put through a court process and convicted. At the same time, there also hasn't been, so far as we can determine, any real investigation from the high levels of the government of Papua New Guinea into whether upper-level management or the company itself bears any responsibility for the abuses in this case, which are very widespread. There were at least 120 women who have submitted claims to this remedy mechanism and been accepted through it as victims of rape.
It does rather look to an outsider as if there's been a collective effort to buy the women's silence and then put this whole matter to bed without anybody ever being brought to justice.
Well, we hope that's not the case. We're hoping through this report that the voices of the victims themselves, who are willing and able to speak directly with the company, directly with government officials, that the company will return an assessment to this mechanism, will offer greater remedies to the women in light of the remedies that were offered to those who had lawyers. And we also hope that the government of Papua New Guinea will take some action to review this kind of process and set in place guidelines in case other companies seek to set up a similar kind of remedy mechanism.